All right, Sue Bradford, Dean Hall with me, 21 past six. Now, this will get a response. What do you think about this, about the government selling state homes and giving tenants vouchers to spend on rents? A report just out says this way it could help more people, and that large-scale government housing ownership is problematic. Too many waiting right now for homes, around 20,000 wait list. Now, the report is called Owning Less to Achieve More, and it's by the think tank The New Zealand Initiative, and the NZI senior fellow, Dr. Bryce Wilkinson, the author, is with us now. Dr. Wilkinson, nice to have you here.
Yes, hello. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and hello to the panellists.
Just briefly outline, Bryce, how might this work? What, do you get a voucher sent to your mailbox and you can spend that on a house that you like, on rent?
No, you don't necessarily get it in cash. One parallel where it's working very well in New Zealand is preschool education, where wherever you enrol your kid, and if you change your kid, the money goes to the provider of the school preschool education, and that sort of happens automatically. You as the parent don't really even have to know particularly that it's happening. And what you get then is a multiplicity of providers, different providers, catering for the needs of different categories of kids and that sort of thing. And they want to get your business as an adult. They want to look after right. your child. So they have to keep, market themselves to you with your child as to what you need. So that's very empowering for the parent.
Now, Bryce, let's go on the panel. Sue Bradford, you stay right where you are because I know you'll have views on this. I want to go to Dean Hall first, though.
I saw a study had come out that showed that people who rent get depression a lot easier. I actually rent, but because I actually prefer the flexibility of it. Did you have any thoughts on whether this helps with that certainty? Because my understanding from a few families I know who get state housing is they get that certainty of the place that they're at. How do the vouchers, is there a way the vouchers could help with that? Because I think that's a huge part of it.
The voucher doesn't force you to move, of course, if you like the provider you've got, or the landlord you've got. You can stick with them as long as it's mutually beneficial. A difficulty and a concern with the current situation was pointed out in the review panel report in 2024, is that part of the reason why there's a waiting list is that there are people out there in private rental housing whose needs are actually greater than people who are in the Kāinga-ora housing. And it's easy to understand because you can get into Kāinga-ora housing when your need is particularly high, but then your circumstances might change and you might be a bit better off, and there are people who are better off than people who are outside trying to get in. And it's very hard for a state housing supplier to do much about that. The problem that there becomes a mismatch between housing needs and the incumbent's needs.
All right. Now, Bryce, just stay there. Okay, Sue Bradford, what do you think about this? The government selling the state homes, what, there are about 78,000 on the books, and giving tenants vouchers to spend on rent. Sue Bradford.
Kia ora, Bryce, by the way.
Nice to be in touch again.
But as you won't be surprised, I disagree with everything you're saying and everything in this report, because it just goes against everything I believe, that everyone in this country deserves a safe, decent home, whether it's whether rental or owned, that everyone deserves a home. And at the moment, homelessness is rising. I was just listening to the Coalition on Women's Homelessness a couple of days ago, talking about how around 50% of homeless people at the moment, according to a recent survey, are women. A very high homelessness among women aged 18 to 30, and most of them have three children or more. Like, people have no idea how bad it is, and the solution is not massively selling off state housing. Every single one of those state houses is needed. The problem is we need, like, thousands more, 30,000
could
more
they be managed
each
better?
Year.
But, okay, Bryce, can I ask you this? Is this essentially a complete privatisation model of state housing?
No, absolutely not. I think I can turn Sue around, basically, on what she's saying. The issue is this. There are 198,000 people in state housing. Taxpayers are spending, on the calculations that report, maybe $2 billion a year on that. There are great complexities and difficulties with the state as a landlord. It's excellent as a funder because it can call in taxes and get funding. So the question is this. If we're spending $2 billion a year trying to help 198,000 people, is this the best way to spend it?
Cheaper.
That's an open question. That's a question for reasoned public debate. It's not an ideological question. Now, there are difficulties for people who occupy in state housing, which come through to the difficulties of government as a landlord. So one statistic which really troubled me, and I'm sure it'll trouble Sue too, we're on the same side of this, is that as the Kāinga was getting hundreds of complaints a month about intimidating or disruptive tenant neighbours. And the organisation wasn't in a position to do much about that. There were only three rental tenancies in the entire financial year, 2022-23.
Right, okay.
This is not a good thing.
All right, well, we might get a statement from...
You've got to be thinking we can do better than this,
okay.
Surely.
We'll get a statement from Kāinga Ora actually about those facts there. So what would you say to Bryce here? And what would you actually say, Sue, to people? I mean, the Netherlands, for example, they provide 75% of the rental housing through independent housing associations. Germany subsidises private provision of social housing with time-limited low-interest loans rather than perpetual state ownership. My question to you is, how convinced are you that we've got the right model now?
Oh, we don't. We don't have the right model now because we need a lot more state housing. We need council housing. We do not need a lot more support for iwi, hapu housing, and for community-based, community-owned housing associations. Other countries, like the ones you've quoted, are way, way ahead of us. There are many forms of meeting housing need, including housing ownership. Can I just say one thing to Bryce, which is about the point you make about kicking people out of state houses because there's other people with more urgent need. One of the core founding principles of state housing way back from the beginning was that it would be a permanent home for those people. That they would have a home for life and raise their family, to have a garden, to look after the house, to have the stability that you have other people have in rental or owned property. And so what you're talking about is actually decreasing that stability massively and having people in transience all the time, according to constantly rationing need.
You might find, Bryce, that stability ensures better tenants. Dean, let you come in, and Bryce can have the final word. Dean.
Yeah, so, you know, Netherlands is a good example, and Germany. I lived in the Czech Republic, so I spent a bit of time in Germany. That they have very strong rental protection laws. I get where you're coming from, Dr. Bryce. I do think that there's potentially a model there that could work, but I care a lot about the stability. Price is one measure you control. So, and I think you've got a point there. There's price problems with running a state asset system. When I worked in defence, they had terrible problems, which they still do with their defence housing. But I think you need the stability as well. Money's one lever, but stability is another.
Okay.
And I think if you don't do them,
final point, Bryce.
Yeah, you guys aren't giving me enough time to talk. There's a lot more common there's a lot more common ground, and in particular, in the report, we mention on ownership. We mention the UK, where 1.7 million houses with council tenants were converted into owner-occupied options by suitable subsidies to help people buy them out. And the housing associations were set up to help management. So there's a lot more common ground than you guys think. We're not talking about exactly what the remedy is. We're talking about having a better public policy discussion about all the options. And you look at the overseas experience, as you guys have just been summarizing, there's lots of different options for how we can think about how we can help those 198,000 people and more better.
Well, it's great to have the discussion, Bryce, and I tell you what, it's kicked off quite a bit of feedback, so I appreciate your time here on tonight's panel.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's an important issue. I really appreciate the chance.
No, kia ora. Pleasure. Yeah, totally. That's the New Zealand Initiative Senior Fellow, Dr. Bryce Wilkinson there. You can go back and listen to that actually on rnz.co.nz/thepanel.